We're back on In Focus News Radio KMAN, coming up on 9:35, and once a month we get an update from the Manhattan Fire Department, and we've got a couple guests joining us here via telephone. On my side of the glass, I've got Manhattan Fire Marshal Jake Powell. Jake, good morning.
Good morning, Brandon.
Good to have you on. And on the other line, on Dave's side of the board, we've got Darren Emery, Manhattan Fire Department building official. Good morning.
Good morning, Brandon. Great to talk to you.
Yeah, great to talk to you guys both. We're sure glad to have you on here. I know we're going to talk a little bit about some different things, including some different building projects you got going on. Why don't you start us off here, Darren?
Sure, I'd be glad to. We do have a number of projects going on in the city, and I think most people might be aware that the school district is doing a large number of projects right now. I think you just had the superintendent on prior to us talking about some of those. And we are doing inspections on those projects. And those are probably keeping us busier than just about anything else. The gymnasium additions to the two middle schools, the Oliver Brown Elementary out in Pottawatomie County, College Hill Preschool Early Education, I believe it's a daycare center or preschool center. Those are keeping us quite busy. We've also got a new building out in what I think a lot of people are referring to as the medical complex on 24. It's Heritage North. There's another medical-oriented building going up out there. And then we continue to get building permit applications for single family from our recently expanded area into Pott County. And we're learning those areas out there, the streets and the builders out there. And so far, things are going very well out in Pottawatomie County for us.
That's great. Any adjustments you've had to make here in terms of delivering these building inspections?
Oh, there certainly have been some. I think along with everybody else, things are a little bit unique and different right now. But one thing I would say is we have found the local contractors and the homeowners in this area, they have been so great to work with. They've been accommodating for us. We certainly are practicing social distancing when we're on site, and many contractors will just give us the site for however long our inspection might be, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour, hour and a half, and then we'll review the results afterwards. At the beginning this year, we moved to an all-digital results communication system for our inspections, and so that actually was great timing. So now we don't really deal with paper anymore. We email all inspection results. We have two office staff that are taking turns being in our office. Sherry and Marie are handling all of our incoming phone calls. But we do not have anyone come into the office anymore, so we're taking our permit packages out to the site when we do first inspections. We've also been able to take advantage of technology and do some remote inspections, a few virtual inspections. We're using Zoom and FaceTime, pictures when we can for rechecks. So certainly has changed a few things, but it seems to be working quite well, and we're getting somewhat used to the new normal.
Yeah, well, and doing those virtual inspections, were you guys trained on that before the pandemic, or is this something you kind of had to learn on the fly?
We certainly weren't trained on it before. We had to spin up a few new technologies, but for the last couple of years, we have, when possible and when it makes sense, we've utilized pictures for rechecks. So, for example, if we do a simple inspection and there's one minor thing wrong, and it's the type of thing we could take a quick look at via a picture. Quite often, contractors will just text us the picture, and we'll take a look at it and approve the inspection. So we've been doing something along these lines, but we haven't ever before done an actual full-on inspection via, say, FaceTime or Zoom. And some inspections lend themselves to this really well, a very simple mechanical rough, perhaps. With doing a full framing inspection, I don't know that we could make that work, but we had to get used to this on the run, and it's been going quite well, actually.
Now, if I remember right, last month when we talked, there was some changes as far as recommendations on certain projects that maybe you'd ask people to hold off on. Is that still the case at this point? And if so, what kind of type of projects would those be?
Well, actually, at this point, I'd say we're more back to just normal scheduling. If you need an inspection, you call in, you schedule it. We'll get out there as we can. The one slight difference at this point is we are no longer, or currently not doing furnace, air conditioner, and water heater inspections in someone's home when a gas appliance is involved. Typically, we would have been going out and inspecting those, putting a compliance sticker on them. Right now, what we've asked is for all of the local contractors to do a self-inspection form. We have a list of things that need to be looked at. They do the install. First they call and get the permit, then they do the install, and then their technician will go through and use our checklist just to make sure everything's okay. So we're not doing those inspections currently, but everything else is pretty much call schedule, and we'll be out when we can.
All right, very good. Well, and it's Building Safety Month, I guess. Any extra activity around that?
Well, as with everything else, this year's a little different. So we're not doing the standard fare. Typically, we would have a proclamation that the mayor would read, and we'd have a few events, perhaps something in our office, but we're not doing any of that this year. So I do appreciate the opportunity to speak to it. The theme for this year is safer buildings, safer communities, safer world. And that might seem at first glance kind of a broad brush to paint with, but you know, it really does start. If you have safer homes, and if you have safer offices, and if your places of worship and the places you go to recreate are safer, your community is going to be safer, and ultimately the world does become safer. The four themes the four specifics that tie into that are disaster preparedness, water safety, the idea of resiliency, sustainability, and innovation, and then training the next generation. So, given that it's spring, you know, disaster preparedness, we may have tornadoes on the front, and flooding is certainly something we've dealt with over the years. So, being prepared for disasters is something we're always focusing on. And honestly, building departments, what we do is we work to make buildings safer. So although May is Building Safety Month, it's a year-round thing for us.
Sure. Well, and that kind of ties in nicely to what Jake's going to talk about here with summer fire safety. And, you know, a lot more folks have been at home lately. They're doing projects in their home, and I'm sure there's all sorts of things that maybe they've encountered that may pose safety hazards in the home.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got people itching for things to do, so they're working on projects. We would encourage people, anytime they have a question, if they need a permit, they can call our office and we can walk them through if it's required or not. But with the warmer weather and nicer days, people are getting out, cooking outside more. So I'll talk a little bit about some summer grilling and fire safety tips. Generally, we just want to make sure that you keep that grill away from any combustible surfaces, decks, patios. Make sure that kids are kept away, that they don't get burned. Keep a lid around. If you have a grill fire, you can cover it with the lid, smother it, or you can always turn the propane off, let the fire cool down, and die out. We do have an amendment we've made to our locally adopted codes. You can't use a charcoal grill on a combustible balcony at an apartment building. So the only exception to that is you can use a propane grill, or you can use a grill up there if there is a sprinkler protecting that balcony for that day. Make sure that you put any coals out completely in a non-combustible bucket or a bucket full of water before you dispose of them. Keep all the charcoal lighter fluid, charcoal lighter out of the hands of children, and make sure you let that grill cool completely before you cover it or put it away at the end of the day.
The that amendment you spoke to, was that made in reference to some of the fires we've seen here in the community? I know there was at least one, I believe, on the south side of town that happened like almost a few months to the date after another similar fire.
Yeah, every year we see balcony and deck fires in the summer, usually started either from improperly discarded smoking material or charcoal grill that's been used and then left. Wind will pick up or an ember will fall down into some debris between deck boards or in the corner of a deck and get started that way. So trying to eliminate those deck fires, those can be pretty damaging, cause a lot of property damage, and put a lot of people at risk since you're in an apartment building with multiple dwelling units in the building.
What about with regards to, you know, if somebody wants to have a fire pit in their yard, do they have to get a permit to do something like that?
No, we do not require a permit for a recreational fire or to use a portable outdoor fireplace. There is just some stipulation. Obviously, you have to follow any burn bans. If county or the state has issued a burn ban or the weather is not conducive to having a fire outside, don't have a fire. We require that any recreational fire on the ground be enclosed with a non-combustible ring at least a foot high and less than 3 feet in diameter, and those should be 25 feet from any structure, fence, vehicle parking area, or property line. If you're going to use a portable outdoor fireplace like a chimenea or a little metal fire bowl, don't use those on top of your deck, and they need to be at least 15 feet away from anything combustible. And it goes without saying, you should be out there at all times when the fire is burning. When you're done for the evening, put the fire out with a bucket of water, garden hose, or if you're out there, let it burn down and cover it with a metal cover. Let it smother and go out.
All right. Well, all important tips. And, of course, some people will cook inside even yet if they don't want to grill outside. And, cooking fires are a common thing, and I think there was even one I saw last week that you guys had to respond to.
Yeah, we did have a small kitchen fire in Manhattan. Fire was put out with a fire extinguisher. Everybody was okay. No injuries. But we want to remind people, don't leave your cooking unattended, whether you're cooking inside or outside. Always stay in the kitchen or stay near that grill. Cooking fires are the leading cause of residential fire.
And the same thing goes, you know, summertime, people outdoors, fireworks, you know, 4th of July will be here eventually, and probably more people will be celebrating at home. And a good reminder there to just have some common sense.
Absolutely. Common sense goes a long ways in preventing a lot of injuries, a lot of fire damage. Make sure you're using fireworks in a safe manner. Don't shoot them towards houses, cars, vehicles, or the roadway. When you're done, make sure that all the debris is cool and not throwing it in the trash right after you get done discharging.
All right. Anything else from either of you gentlemen that you'd like to make sure we pass along to the community? Darren?
Well, I would like to just mention, you know, we talked about building safety being a focus for the month of May, and Jake's been talking about what goes on in the summer, and one thing that happens quite often in the summer is a deck construction project. And I don't think there's any area in a home that can cause challenges or problems more often than decks. Unfortunately, they can be easy to be built and put together, but sometimes they don't get put together quite right. And then they stay on the house for quite some time. The weather causes decay, and we do have the occasional deck collapse. Last year, we did have a deck collapse, and as I recall, there was not a serious injury, but it was a scary event, I'm sure, for those who were on it. The other thing about decks is they are the one area in the home that often get loaded more than they're supposed to. And I mean, number of people. It's not common to have 50, 60 people in your living room or kitchen, but if it's a nice evening and you're having a party, you end up with a lot of people on your decks. And they can collapse. So I just wanted to mention that any deck in our area that is going to be greater than 30 inches above grade at any point, if any portion of your deck is more than 30 inches above ground level, a permit is required for that deck. And we'll certainly work with homeowners to help them submit proper plans and do the inspections to make sure those decks are just as safe as possible.
All right. Yeah, that's a good point. Jake, anything else we should know?
Nope, just reiterate again, call our office if you have questions about if the permit is required or not, 587-4506. We'll walk you through the middle if needed.
I have a question for you, fellas. It's about smoke alarms.
Absolutely.
Okay, all right. So, put new batteries in my smoke alarms, but they continued to beep. What'd I do wrong?
So, one thing you can check is the life of that detector or that smoke alarm. Manufacturers, for the last 15 years or so, have been stamping a date or printing a date on that detector, and if the detector is at the end of its lifespan, it'll chirp, even with replacing the batteries, and it's just telling you that it's time to replace it, put a new smoke alarm in that spot.
I was hoping you were going to come up with a cheaper alternative.
Well,
I know smoke alarms aren't expensive.
Those are pretty cheap insurance for protecting your life and your family's life.
Oh, okay. Thanks, guys. I appreciate that.
Well, we sure appreciate the time here. As always, gentlemen, we thank you for joining us on In Focus.
Thanks. Great to talk to you, Brandon.
And that's Darren Emery and Jake Powell with the Manhattan Fire Department, our guests here today. Stay tuned. We'll continue our show after this on News Radio KMAN.
Is it you and me?
I think so.
Okay.